You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Ole Speaks podcast on the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Danny, coming to you for episode 218. And if you want to listen to this episode as well as future episodes, feel free to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. If you do listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us a nice five-star rating and a review. So we are back with the midweek episodes because the international break is almost over. And, well, you can look at it as probably a bad thing that Juventus is about to return to the field with how they're playing lately. So, let me bring in here Sam Lopresti. Hello, Sam.
Have you steeled yourself?
Maybe. We'll see. Sergio Romero. Hello, Sergio.
Hey, fellas. Happy to be here, as always. Yeah, unfortunate that we have to watch our football team play again, but it is what it is.
Yes, so obviously Juventus returning to the field this weekend against Lazio, a Lazio team that they're going to be seeing a whole lot of over the next few weeks, especially in the month of April, although I guess the last weekend of March is essentially April, even though it's not technically April. But anyways, I digress. Lazio that up until a few weeks ago had an old friend on the sidelines as manager. But now, after Maurizio Sarri resigned a few weeks ago, there's a different old friend on the sideline, and that is former Juventus player, former Juventus assistant coach, Igor Tudor, who has finally signed a contract. I believe it took many days to actually get things done, but now he is on the sidelines at Lazio. And depending on which outlet you read, he has either decided to go with his own tactics or keep things very kind of 4-3-3 like Sarri likes to do. So now that we are heading into the unknown of Lazio under Tudor, Sam, has any of the uneasiness from the last couple of months of Juventus subsided?
No. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the other team is doing. You've got to attend to you first. And there's, you know, we have no idea what's going to happen, you know, what's going to be if the international break is exactly what this team needed to get the hell away and come back and maybe work some things out. You know, Tudor is a damn good coach. You know, we've seen that. Hellas Verona are about to be relegated this year, but he had them solidly mid-table and on an outside shout at the Europa League at one or two times that he was coaching them. So he's very good. He's a guy that would have been on my list of guys to replace Max Allegri if Max Allegri leaves, had this not come down. But, you know, like you said, we said this earlier this year with Napoli, the tactical weirdness of a guy who, you know, with Napoli, Walter Mazzarri being basically forced to play a 4-3-3, even though that wasn't his game, and whether or not Tudor is going to try to stay with Saudi's 4-3-3 in order to just keep continuity for the last couple of months of the season, or if he's going to try to install his, you know, because he's very much a three-man back line guy, to install that. So, you know, we'll see if there's that kind of confusion or not with Lazio. But at the end of the day, the fact of the matter is Tudor is a very good coach, and I can really see him causing Juventus a lot of problems, especially the way Juventus have been playing and looking right now. You have to hope that the new coach bump doesn't happen in Rome twice in the same season. And you have to hope that, you know, with, you know, much like with Napoli, Lazio has an owner that likes to meddle. And you just have to hope that Claudio Lotito is just so insufferable that Tudor doesn't quite give them the bump right away, at least.
Yeah, it's tough, because I think in other scenarios or in other times, we'd be like relishing the fact that, oh, we're getting a Lazio team that has severely underperformed pretty much all season, that just experienced a manager change. You know, this is a team that's ripe for the picking, and we get to face them, you know, in the league and then the Coppa, like very favorable draw, very favorable moment for us to play them. That is like, oh man, like they just, like Tudor is going to get them ready to play and they're going to beat us. Like, that's just the mood that is right now for Juventus, I think. You know, and I think it says, or it speaks a lot more about how poorly Juventus has been playing recently rather than, you know, whatever Lazio is going to do, you know, right? Because, you know, Tudor is, like you guys said, like a very good coach, and I'm sure he's going to, you know, especially considering the underperforming season they were having under Sarri, obviously, there's always something to be said for the, you know, new coach bump. But in general, you should be able to say, like, they're still going to be adapting to a new system or a new type of play. Like, obviously, it's not going to be perfect. Juve should be able to take advantage of a team that's just not going to be as well drilled, that's just not going to be as well, you know, as in sync after a mid-season managerial change. And that, yet none of us feel particularly hopeful that that is going to be the case. And it's just, it kind of speaks to how poor the form for Juve has been. That being said, I guess, you know, if you want to talk yourself into Juventus winning this game in the league and then, you know, moving forward in the Coppa, I think that's probably one of the strongest arguments, right? Like, Lazio is going to be adapting to a new system and a new coach. And you have to hope that leads to an easier matchup. But, you know, who knows what Juventus will say.
Yeah, just to look at the form guide real quick here. Obviously, Juventus struggling over these last 8 games, 7 points in their last 8 games. But just over the last 6 games, Juventus 1 win, 3 draws, 2 losses, 8 goals scored, 9 goals allowed, 6 points total. Lazio, same 6 points scored, 1 win, or 2 wins, sorry. No draws and 4 losses. Same 8 goals forced, 9 goals against, for a -1 point goal differential. So, yeah, it's not like things are going any better over there. And while Juventus's manager currently is very much headstrong in terms of his job, Maurizio Sarri stepped down after a tough run. Although I guess this is much more extended than what Juventus is in, thankfully, because I can't imagine what this podcast would be like if Juventus was playing like Lazio have this season on the whole.
I think we all would have committed ritual suicide by this point. it's just not been great. You know, that Lazio lost 3 out of their first 4 games. Ironically, the 1 win was against Napoli back when we still thought Napoli was going to do stuff. Rudy Garcia's Napoli. From then on, they've been streaky, you know, like in, you know, around the new year, you know, sandwiched around the new year, they had a 5-game winning streak. You know, they won the derby. They had that really epic win in the first leg of their Champions League round of 16 against Bayern Munich, and then got absolutely keel hauled when they went to Germany for the second leg. But that's, you know, they've had their moments this season, but they're really, you know, it's been really inconsistent. Sarri's system just wasn't at its best this year. You know, nobody on this team has scored more than six times all year. That being Ciro Immobile, who leads the team with six goals in the league, which is kind of incredible, both because it's Ciro Immobile and because Sarri teams are, you know, you expect them to score goals in bunches. You know, I think it's safe to say that Sarri probably wanted more out of the summer transfer window than Claudio Lotito was willing to give him. Surprise, surprise there. But this is an all or nothing team with Lazio. They've lost 12 games. They've won 13. They only have four draws. So it's either going to be really good for Lazio or really bad for Lazio. And you have to approach this game. If you're Max Allegri, you have to approach this game the exact same way that you did in the first year in September, when you just jumped all over them. You know, Vlahovic and Chiesa had scored within the first, had each scored within the first 26 minutes, and then you just ride it out. You've got to hit them hard. You've got to hit them fast. You've got to hit them a couple of times, and then just let the rest of the game ride. Because I think that's, if you do that, I think psychologically you'll have a good, you know, you'll have a better opportunity to just keep the lid on everything. And also go back to Turin in a couple days later and play your first leg of the Coppa.
Just one quick thing, Sergio, before you jump in here. At least during Sarri's tenure, and like we said, we don't necessarily know what they're going to look like under Tudor, simply because he was hired during an international break and we have no sample size. Lazio averaged the fourth lowest shots per game total in all of the league. Which, you look at the teams below Lazio, Verona, Genoa, and Salernitana, that's two sides that are very much relegation candidates. So when you're down there and you're a team that has a coach with the reputation of being one of the more offensive and progressive coaches in the league, that's not good.
Yeah, it's definitely not good. Like, on paper, this is a team that they should beat. Like, there's no way of looking at it any other way. Like, on paper, this is a team they should beat. Like, even under Sarri, like you guys said, like, they were not performing great. Like, there's a reason that he was signed. And obviously, you know, not the easiest ownership situation going on there. But still, like, he underperformed with the team. And you know, there's a reason he's no longer a coach. Juventus should technically beat them, but you know, you never know. I mean, I think the game plan that they deployed early in the season, which at the time looked like a pretty impressive win, doesn't really look like that impressive now. It's probably the right way to go against this team. But again, this is a team that just installed a coach like a week ago. Like, you should be able to take advantage of that. And you know, if you're going to look at the positives and try to be the optimist here about Juventus, you know, this kid, I think we all agree, was as much of, you know, I think it had a fair share of having to do with mentality, right? Like, I think we saw a team that very clearly, you know, buckled after losing to Inter Milan and kind of falling out of the title race and never really bounced back. So if you want to give them the benefit of the doubt or say, look, this is as good of a moment to kind of pick yourself up from the floor and then take this international break and kind of like go back to a team that you know you were just a couple of months ago, doing it against a team that, you know, has a new coach that even under the old coach just underperformed all year, is as good a game as you're probably going to get outside of a relegation battler. And, you know, considering that you have to play them again for the Coppa, It's a good game for Juventus to kind of show that they have the capacity or they have the ability to kind of get this season as much or as back on track as you possibly can. Obviously, the Scudetto is long gone, but you still have the Coppa to fight for. You still, you know, have, shockingly, you still have to fight for top four. So if they are going to show any signs of life in the remainder of the season, this is the game that I think I'd look as a good chance to be a springboard. Like, I think, you know, after an international break, get yourself, you know, get your your mentality back on for this team and you know, beat a team that you should beat, that you by all intents and purposes should beat, and kind of like get the season back on track.
Not only is it a springboard coming out of the international break, it's just a springboard for the last 2 months of the season. I mean, we've talked about it before on this podcast. I mean, you look at it, obviously Juventus play Lazio 3 times within the next 3.5 weeks or so. But then it's, you know, as we've said, it's Fiorentina. It's the Turin derby against Torino. It's a, you know, Milan, where you're that second and third place as things stand right now. That's Roma. That's very different Roma than when Juventus saw them a little while ago. So this is very much something that hopefully, and I say hopefully because obviously we have no idea what kind of Juventus is going to show up based off the last 2 months, hopefully is one that can get them going in the right direction again, simply because they just can't afford very many slip-ups knowing who's coming on the schedule.
No, there's going to be a lot of direct clashes for that top four. You don't want to have to hope and pray that all the teams in the Europa League and the Conference League score you enough points to end up with that fifth spot in the Champions League and bail you out that way. You've got to get the top four. You've got to arrest this slide finally. You've got to put it away yourself. And like you said, the best way to do that, come out swinging here, you know, get a good punch at the jaw and ride that momentum through, because it's more difficult games than it is easier ones from this point out.
Before we get to a couple of Twitter questions real quick here, knowing that Dusan Vlahovic is suspended again and Arek Milik is out injured, how big of a game is this for Moise Kean?
Very.
It'd be nice if he could score a goal.
It would be, and Lazio have been a favorite victim of his. You know, he might have had his best game in a Juventus shirt against Lazio last season when he scored those two really nice goals. So yeah, I think that this is going to be a big one for him. You know, either in terms of whether he stays here or where he ends up going in the summer. I think that if there's ever a point that he does it, it's against Lazio, because he just really likes scoring against them.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of Moise Kean got a bad rep because of the whole you're a striker and we're in March and you still haven't scored a goal. But to be fair to him, like he wasn't a starter when the season started, and he played really, really well before his injury. It was just kind of like a matter of time before he scored. Like, he was doing everything else right. Like, he was in very good form in that November, December-ish period. Then he gets hurt, and we haven't seen him from that point on. But, you know, I do think that this is as good a chance as he's going to get to break that duck, and hopefully he does, because while the numbers obviously look bad, and it's unacceptable, really, for a striker to be, you know, to be having a goose egg at this point in the season, the reality is that, you know, the level of play that he was showing on the field just does not correlate with the amount of goals that he should have scored. Like, he really had a period there where it wasn't even his fault. Like, it was just super sketchy VAR decisions, you know, miraculous saves here and there. Like, it's just, you know, it wasn't like he was missing those chances. Like, he was just, you know, being unlucky. So hopefully he finally breaks that duck against Lazio.
Alrighty, a couple of Twitter questions to wrap things up. First question from @WilliamIsing. I don't even know where to begin, but here it goes. Would you try and explain the collapse of form from Juventus? Explain.
Start with the easy questions.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've talked about it a little bit before. It's just, you know, I think it's a combination of our luck going south, and that, you know, in a couple of games, our luck went south, and that caused our entire team mentality to go south, and we just haven't gotten ourselves out of that. And also, I just don't think that Max Allegri as a tactical coach right now has the wherewithal to pull us out of it. Old Max would have. I don't think this Max does. But yeah, it's really just a case of Murphy's Law. You know, whatever could go wrong has gone wrong. And now we wind up here.
Yeah, I think like Sam said, I think we talked about it a few times, but it really has been, you know, it sucks because it's just such, it feels like a cop-out answer, but it was just regressing to the mean in the harshest possible way, right? Like if everything went right from, you know, the beginning of the season until January, and that included players, I think, overperforming to a certain extent, a lot of lucky breaks going your way, right? Like scoring a lot of last minute goals, you know, just a lot of lucky, you know, not even lucky, just like the normal bounces of the game, just every single one going Julia's way from February to now, it has been exactly the opposite, right? Because we've had losses of every, you know, shape or form, right? Like losses that you can pin on the coaching and the substitution decisions and, you know, just like the general tactical setup. You've had losses or dropped points that you can pin on just players laying a complete goose egg, right? Like, you know, you can pin others on just being unlucky, right? Like, I think, and I wrote about it a little bit on the grab bag of this, you know, last game before the international break, just how, you know, in the first half, those balls that bounce off the posts probably go in, right? Like those, you know, million lunging tackles from Genoa to block shots, probably one of those, you know, slips through and there's a deflection or something and it's a score. And those, we were seeing that in the first half and then suddenly you don't in the second half. So I think it's just everything, like Sam said, everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong. And if you, you know, to me, the most disheartening thing is just once again, the fact that this team couldn't bounce back from, you know, like a huge letdown. And you know, that just speaks to me of a frail mentality. You know, we've talked about it before, but it's the second year in a row something like this happens, and which is, you know, in a key moment, something goes against this team and they just do not have an extra gear, being, you know, that be tactically, be emotionally, be, you know, like the performance of a player, whatever. Like if this team is going on a slump, they're staying in the slump. Like they don't have a way of bouncing back. And it's just, if you want to make a case for the, you know, Max Allegri out for next season, to me, more than the, you know, if he plays too defensive or whatever, that to me is the biggest argument. The fact that the coach, you know, in two very similar situations in back-to-back seasons, just allowed, or just, you know, maybe not allowed, that's not the right word, but just didn't find a way to put this team back on track. And I think that is as fireable as an offense as anything else.
All right. For the second straight week, we've got a question from producer Koush.
Shout out Koush.
Long one. So let me catch my breath here real quick. Another pretty depressing performance from Federico Chiesa on the left wing for Italy against Venezuela a few days ago, after weeks of him brute forcing his way to playing on the left wing for Juventus, despite his quote-unquote position being that of a forward. His heat maps don't lie, guys. If he's always clashing with Filip Kostic, it's because he's forcing the issue to be in his favorite spot, even though we're all flaming Max Allegri. He still can't take on his man. He still isn't creating anything. At what point do we start holding him accountable for his lackluster performances?
I think that's a very interesting question, and shout out Couch for that, because it's, and I wrote about it a little bit and another plot clip for the previous grab back, but, you know, sometimes, and I get that, you know, with Chiesa particularly, right? Like he's not being played in the best position, and I like, I get it. I think the whole Chiesa as a striker experiment was, you know, sort of valid, but I think we've seen enough evidence that we can say that that's not, you know, it's not really going to work. But at some point, if you are as talented as we think you are, and again, like we think of Chiesa and another guy that I think, and the one that I actually wrote about in the grab bag, which was Vlahović, but to me, they're two very similar cases. If you are the guy, the player, the level of talent that we think you are, even if you're not playing in your natural spot or in your best position, or you're not being set up as good as you could be, that talent that we think you have is going to shine through. Like you're going to carry the team to wins. You're going to carry the team to results, because we think, and I think we thought of this about Chiesa, he was going to be the best player in Serie A. Like he had that talent, like he had that potential. And suddenly it's like, well, if he doesn't play on the left wing, then he's just, you know, he's not going to work. Like, he's not a good player. And that to me is I think we have to if that is the case, like Kyle was saying, like, I think we have to readjust the expectations for who the actual cornerstone players of Juventus are, or if they have any cornerstone players, right? Like is Dusan Vlahovic really the striker that we think that he can be? Like, maybe he's not. Maybe he's just a really good striker that if you play him in a correct season, he can be productive. He's not a superstar. He's not going to be like a top striker in Italy or in Europe, which we thought he could be or he was. And that's fine. But I think that has to, you know, inform the decisions that I think Juventus has to do moving forward, right? Because if Chiesa and if Vlahovic, like the question is, like, we have to hold them to account. If they're just not as good as we thought they were, like, just period, like, if they're not superstars and they're just pretty good players, they're not bad players to have around, obviously. But I think you have to start thinking about who are actually the superstar level players in your team. And if you have any, you know, to begin with. So I think it's a good question. And it's something that I've been myself kind of pondering this last few weeks. It's like, okay, like, maybe they're just not top tier level players. Maybe they're just, you know, when Juventus was in Cardiff, like when they announced the best shortlist or the shortlist for that award, right? Like, I saw a screenshot, like, Gigi Buffon was nominated for the best keepers. Like, Dybala was, you know, nominated as best strikers. I think it was either Bonucci or Chiellini or both. I don't remember very well. Like, they were nominated for best defenders. And it's like, yes, that was the type of talent and the type of players that Juventus used to field. Like, players who you could legitimately make the case were, you know, the best in their position in the world. And we thought Chiesa and Vlahovic and other guys were at that level. Maybe they're just not. And you have to come to grips to that and decide how to move forward with that knowledge. Not saying they're bad players or that we should sell them or they're bums or anything like that. But perhaps, you know, Federico Chiesa is never going to be in the short list of best, you know, attacker in the world. And that's fine, but we have to stop pretending that he is going to be, or start saying, you know, let's build a team around him. Like, maybe that's just a wrong way of looking at it. And I'm not saying completely or definitely yes or not, but it is something that I think as Juve fans, we have to start wondering, because the coaching and then the setup, and like, I get all of that, but if you're good enough, it's going to show. And I think the fact that, you know, the seasons that both of those guys are having have been, you know, the way they have been, it's not what a world-class level player would have put forth is my point. And you have to put, you know, you have to make them accountable for that as well.
I think that there's something that Kausch is, I love you, Kausch, but there's something that you were overlooking as you were looking at that question, which is that Chiesa didn't necessarily start as a winger in that game. Because Italy came out in that game with a 3-4-2-1. So I don't think Chiesa was playing as an out and out winger in that format in that game. And as has been getting a lot of press in, you know, amongst Italian national team watchers, it wasn't until after Chiesa left the field that Spalletti switched back to a 4-3-3, at which point Italy looked a lot better. Now, obviously, he's got Spalletti is looking at experimenting right now because he's got some issues elsewhere in the team in terms of injuries that might be affecting them for the Euros. But I think that's harsh on Chiesa. Obviously he didn't play particularly well, but to say, well, now he's, you know, where he wants to be and he's still not playing well, I think that's a little bit inaccurate, because that's not necessarily what the case was. I still want to see him played as a full out and out winger and to see, it was just, It's just that the last few international breaks before this one, you know, at the end of last year, that he was being played in a 4-3-3 by Roberto Mancini, and he was still, you know, the level of his performance was still much higher than a lot of what we've seen with Juventus when he's been shoved into the striker position. So while I do think that it, you know, it bears watching for him, I don't necessarily think that you can look at him and say, you know, he got to play his favorite position and it didn't work this time around, because I just don't necessarily think that that's an accurate assessment of how that game went.
Just want Federico Chiesa to be happy. That's all I want.
That too.
Yeah. So,
and I want him to make us happy.
Sorry. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully this weekend turns out to be better than the last 7 or 8 weekends, because yeah, those haven't been good. So on that note, thank you guys for the Twitter questions. Always appreciate them. If you want to send them in, feel free to do so at Juventus Nation on the Twitter machine. Follow us there. Follow the Fans First Sports Network at Fans First SN, fansfirstsports.com for all the other podcasts around the network. If you do want to follow us on your favorite podcasting platform, whether it is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, feel free to do so. If you do listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us a nice 5-star rating and a review. So for Sam, for Sergio, for Chucks, and producer Couch, who also sends in Twitter questions, this is Danny saying thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you guys in a few days.